Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. And last week and this, we're addressing really a problem. And that problem is that the United States State Department for several administrations has been pushing the Jews to give away what the Bible calls the mountains of Israel and the world calls the West Bank. It is clear, if you bless Israel, you're blessed. If you curse Israel, you're cursed. It is clear that God said he's going to bring nations to judgment who divide his land. And so in an effort to help the body of Christ, to help anyone understand what a terrible going against the will of God it is to push Israel to give up what the world calls the West Bank, any part of their promised land. It's dangerous for a nation. And I love our nation very much. And I want to put this book, which explains the situation, and we've been talking about it now. This is our second week. You can go back on the archives. Our radio programs are archived at billybrim.org, billybrim.org. And you can listen to the radio program from last Monday. This is Tuesday of the second week. And catch up on what we've been studying. You can also order the book by Norma Archbold that we are studying from. We'll pick it up from her book on page 24. Long ago, the Lord caused promises to be recorded in the Bible. And in the sight of the entire world, he is keeping his promises. No other being or group of beings could have accomplished what the Lord has done. When we see the miraculous birth and survival of the tiny state of Israel and the lights of Jewish cities spreading over the mountaintops in the promised land, it is indeed easy to believe in God today. What more proof is needed? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob exists. And he only is Lord. As prophecies are fulfilled and the great power of God is revealed, these words from the Bible are important for the nations. Blessed is he who blesses Israel, and cursed is he who curses Israel. Actually, it says, I will bless. This is stronger. The translation she used, I would use a stronger one, because God said, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. He will do it. She's reading from Numbers 24:9. So I was thinking she was quoting from Genesis chapter 12. But I'll read hers again then. This is Numbers 24:9. Blessed is he who blesses Israel. Cursed is he who curses Israel. The Lord is sovereign. No one can prevent him from doing his will. World powers that oppose God's plan can cause pain and suffering to their people. But they cannot prevent the Lord from keeping his promises. Regardless of what man does, God will keep his promises. Why not go for the blessing? I want the United States of America to be on the blessing side. That's how you get to be a sheep nation. Nations as nations are going to be judged on how they blessed or cursed Israel. Norma's book, going back to that, The Desolate Land, page 25. Before examining the Lord's promises and to appreciate what God has done, it is important to understand the situation in Israel prior to the return of large numbers of Jewish people. Ezekiel prophesied that God would scatter the children of Israel throughout the nations and make the mountains of Israel desolate. Quote, "When you are scattered throughout the countries, I will make the land more desolate than the wilderness." That's Ezekiel 6, verses 2, 6, 8, and 14. In 70 and 135 A.D., in fulfillment of his word, the Lord scattered the people of Israel around the world. What had happened at that time? The Romans had destroyed their temple in 70 A.D., and they had led the Jews off captive. Some of the Jews fled to other nations. Some were carried away captive. A small remnant remained in the land. For nearly 2,000 years, the promised land lay desolate. Where once great forests stood, the hills were empty of trees and covered with rocks. This is a quote from a book that was written originally in Finnish by Carlos Suvanto, pioneer. And I happen to know him, know some things about him. But anyway, reading from his book. And Finland's very close to Israel. The Finnish people, Finnish Christians, very close to Israel. So this Finnish man, Carlos Suvanto, pioneer, wrote a book called 40 Years in Israel. The land was under Turkish control from 1517 to 1917, 400 years. And Turkey destroyed this land thoroughly. The rulers enacted ridiculous laws, for example, one which required taxes to be paid for live trees. The people cut down the trees so they wouldn't have to pay taxes. This country therefore ended up in a truly wretched condition. The land was described by Reverend Samuel Manning in 1874 in his book called Those Holy Fields, quote, "The land is left void and desolate without inhabitants." For thousands of years, Arabic people roamed over millions of square miles in the Middle East and Africa, unhindered by borders as we know them today. Bedouin frequently moved in and out of the area to find pasture for their fields. From the mid-1800s until 1948, jobs created by Jewish improvements in the land drew Arabs from other areas into the Holy Land. Therefore, many Muslims living in the land before Israel became a state were not natives of Palestine. Below is a list of the places, birthplaces of Muslims living in the Jerusalem region, as recorded in the census of 1931. In the census of 1931, and this comes from the book From Time Immemorial by Joan Peters, the Arabs who lived in Jerusalem listed these places as their birthplace: Albania, Algeria, Australia, Central America, Central Asiatic territories, Cyprus, Egypt, Far Eastern Asia, France, Greece, Hejaz Nej, Indian continent, Iraq, Morocco, Palestine, Persia, Iran, South America, Spain, Syria, Transjordan, Tripoli, Tunis, Turkey, United Kingdom, USA, USSR, Yemen, other Arab territories, or other African territories. Of course, even during the worst desolation, some people, Jewish, Arabic, and others, remained in the land, but not many. This is a statement from David Dolan's book, Holy War for the Promised Land. Jews did not entirely disappear from the Holy Land. Official records listed 43 Jewish communities in the 6th century, 12 along the coast in the Negev Desert and east of the Jordan River, and 31 in the Galilee and Jordan Valley. During Ottoman Turkish rule, beginning in 1516, four holy cities were semi-autonomous Jewish areas: Jerusalem, Tiberias, Sfat, and Hebron. In Tiberias, a textile industry was set up employing many Jews. A report in 1864 indicated that the largest group of residents in Jerusalem were Jewish. That's 1864. The largest group, people group in Jerusalem were not Arabic, they were Jewish. The population of the city of Jerusalem is computed, this is in 1864, during the time of the Civil War in America. The population of the city of Jerusalem is computed at 18,000, of whom about 5,000 are Muslim, 8,000 to 9,000 Jewish, and the rest Christians of various denominations. Arabic people also lived in the Holy Land. Some were settled, but many were transient. During the past 2,000 years, Arabic tribes roamed over more than 5 million square miles in the Middle East and in Northern Africa. For much of that time, there were no borders as we know them today. They moved here and there for good pasture or for good jobs. This is from Joan Peters' very good book, From Time Immemorial. We have seen strong evidence that the Holy Land was inhabited only sparsely in the 19th century. For centuries, the non-Jewish, particularly the Muslim, peoples in the land had been largely composed of a revolving immigrant population. The majority of those inhabitants were migrants and peasants originating from other lands. I think I'll tell you a little bit about From Time Immemorial by Joan Peters. Joan Peters was a journalist. She worked a lot for CBS. She was freelance, but very well known. And she set out to write a book on the refugees, the terrible refugee problem. And this refugee problem, as the leftist press understood it at that time, the press of which she was a part, had to do with Jews being pushed out of Israel. But when by, not Jews being pushed out of Israel, of the Palestinians, quote unquote, Palestinians being pushed out of Israel in the time of the 1948 war and 1967 war. When she researched it, she found out that the real refugees were the Jews that were kicked out of Arabic lands, and that the other refugee problem had been largely made up. And if not totally made up, politically pushed. And so she wrote about how many people were living there at the time. And she's a very good, that book, if you're really serious and you really want to know about these things, read Joan Peters' From Time Immemorial. In 1866, now, get it, in The Land and the Book, W.M. Thompson wrote, "How melancholy is this utter desolation. Not a house, not a trace of inhabitants, not even shepherds, to relieve the dull monotony. Isaiah says that Sharon shall be wilderness, and it has become a sad and impressive reality." Mark Twain toured the country in the 1860s. He wrote in The Innocents Abroad, "The hallowed spot where the shepherds watched their flocks by night and where the angels sang, peace on earth, goodwill to men, is untenanted by any living creature, and the desert places around them sleep in the hush of a solitude that is inhabited only by birds of prey and skulking foxes." So this takes away the idea that the Jews came and pushed somebody out who had been there. It was largely uninhabited. And indeed, the Bible says, the word of the Lord said, "Your land shall be desolate." And that certainly proved true. The once fertile Jezreel Valley was a swampland invested with deadly mosquitoes. And so we find that it's been a myth that has been perpetrated that the Jews came and pushed out this thriving peoples. And tomorrow we will come back to this. Right now I want to tell you that this book, The Mountains of Israel, The Bible and the West Bank by Norma Archbold, will make available to you for only $7. Just call us at 1-800-972-3447. We'd also like to invite you March 23rd through 26th to a Revealing the Glory seminar in Collinsville. This is Billy Brim saying shalom until tomorrow.